and welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, the host, and Phil Conlon is here. And
how are you doing, Phil?
An old friend of yours. I believe you know Harry Glasby.
I certainly do.
The author of Class Privilege. We're going to be talking to Harry, we hope, shortly. The subtitle of the book is How Law Shelters Shareholders and Coddles Capitalism. And Phil is in a state of shock and surprise.
I thought the law was all about
the law is on
rule
our
of
side.
Law, yeah.
One law for all.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Harry shortly, we hope. And in the latter part of the show, we're going to find out about the NDP debate in Quebec, because all federal campaigns eventually have to go to Quebec, and Quebec is our political funny bone. When you get to Quebec, everything is cool, becomes a little different. Even the different language, as some candidates discover. We want to get a point of view. We're going to be speaking to the publisher of Baraka Books, Robin Philpott, about the response of the, let's call it, for you know this buzzword, the political class of Quebec. What did they think of the candidates and the performance, et cetera? And even we're going to get a comment on the editorial responses, to the extent that they exist, devoir, I think. And then we'll also ask him about the McDonald debate, because the public school teachers said they thought maybe he ought not to, Sean A. should not be so prominent. Maybe he ought to go away in some sense. And so that would, Robin has some things to say about that, how this debate has gone on. So, and in our way of preparation for speaking to Harry, one matter I was going to take up with him is that he is a former amateur boxer. So it's my duty to consult all former fighters about what they thought of the boxing match between between Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor.
Yeah. Well, it was according to the
3 days after the fight, I can't remember his name.
It was the rules of boxing, but McGregor's not a boxer, right?
That's right.
Right, yeah.
And so what we had was the old riddle that's been asked for centuries. Can a small, elderly black fighter defeat an Irish maniac? And so
easily.
It turned out easily. Yeah, it was P.T. Barnum said there's a sucker born every minute. And wow, did they prove it on Saturday night. The suckers were lining up. Well, and the rest of us wanted to know what was going to happen as well. I don't want to put myself amongst the suckers. Someone did ask me that before the fight, what about it's going to happen? And I said, if McGregor wins, call a cop. Because there would be something really seriously crooked. I thought it was interesting. Phil, did you follow the fight?
Afterwards. I more followed the hype. I was more interested
I didn't pay to see.
Yeah.
But let's talk about it's politics.
Yeah.
We had race involved, and all sports actually take an interest in race and class. But boxing, it's inevitable, and it is the easiest way to sell out a fight is to match up, say, in a Filipino with a Mexican in Southern California, or certainly always a white fighter, call him the White Hope, and the black fighter. And this is also a result. But let's give boxing full credit. They integrated faster than anybody.
Well, we had a black world
Which
champion 100 years
to you
ago, right?
That the broad masses, the unwashed, the people who mechanics and workers, etc., want to see the best. So if they hear there's a guy who can beat all the other guys, they don't say, "Well, I don't want to see him because he's not the right color." They say, "I want to see that guy." And this is how Jack Johnson became the first black champion of the world. Baseball, football, basketball, society, education, army, navy, all segregated. But when it came down to who is the toughest guy on the block, everybody said, okay, I show my money and I want to see that fight. And God bless him, Tommy Burns from Ontario, that wasn't his real name, but anyway, Tommy Burns was a champion, white champion. And Jack Johnson said, Tommy, you want to fight me or not? And at first, Tommy Burns was staying with the, I better play safe. But then one day he said, no, all right, if he's a challenger, I will fight any challenger. So they went off to Australia on Boxing Day. I forget the year, but then about 1910, maybe a little earlier. And Jack Johnson won. By the way, the fight did not end properly. I mean, Burns, like McGregor, was helpless. Jack Johnson was like Floyd Mayweather, actually a defensive fighter. He wasn't out to kill somebody, knock their head off. He was just busy. He liked to beat on them. If they were standing, he'd hit them. But the police actually got in the ring and stopped the fight because it was looking dangerous because the crowd remembered suddenly that they were white. And so many of them were threatening. And so the world didn't believe the result. So they said, well, yeah, but he couldn't beat so-and-so. So they got so-and-so to come out of retirement. And they, about 2-3 years later, a great white hope, as they used to call him. And he was a good fighter. But they fought in, I think it was Reno, Nevada. And
was that Gentleman Jim? My memory.
No,
it wasn't.
It was the guy that knocked Gentleman Jim out.
Oh, okay. So much for the gentleman.
Yeah, he took care of the gentleman.
Yeah,
he was a very good fighter. Yeah. Let's be full respect for all these guys. And I give him respect for coming out of retirement. And Jack Johnson beat him handily. Now, this fight the other night, call it a fight. It's interesting. People forget Floyd Mayweather is 40 years old. That's way past time to quit the game. And he has not fought for 2 years. And in training for the fight, we learned afterwards, he didn't do sparring because he thought his hands were bothering him. He didn't want to hurt his hands. And he spent an awful lot of time in Las Vegas at a club he owns. But it turned out that's all the training was required. But give it to the P.T. Barnums of the world. They know how to sell a fight because if you put the right question, it doesn't matter what the answer is. What would happen if I mixed this guy with that guy? And there's a lot of people can give you the correct answer, but an awful lot of other people say, oh, I'd want to see that. So what happens if you get a ferociously noisy young man who loves to talk about tearing out people's eyes and ears or whatever, and put him in the ring with the current light, whatever middle title this guy holds, lightweight champion. And boy, the suckers showed up and sold tickets, and you know they apparently did break the record. So this is how it goes.
Well, I hope the fighters got paid.
The fighters? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Well, Floyd owns the production company.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I got one more, so we're going to take a break, but I'm going to tell you a story quickly. I went around because I follow boxing. I used to hang around gyms, and I was a sparring partner. And a guy I sparred with actually ended up in the ring with Sandy Sadler. But that's to mean absolutely nothing. But I did get to watch Sandy work out. But the trainers are, of course, the people who know fighters. And one of the great trainers of our time, who whenever there's going to be a fight, his name comes up, maybe he will train them. So he told a story last night. I watched him. He said that Floyd came to him and he said, you know, I may get a match with this guy, McGregor. He says, how about you train McGregor? He says, you're going to get rich, I guarantee. And he said, the trainer said, well, thanks, Floyd. I know it's good money, but it would take me 5 years to get the guy ready to fight a boxer. He says he's not a boxer. And that was rather sober. Francois is here looking after us. If we have some music, we will play it, and we will search for the author, Harry Glasby. Is it coming up? Okay. Now, that was a boxing fan, Miles Davis, a tribute to Jack Johnson. We made a mistake in not telling you beforehand. But anyhow, which once again just tells you how important boxing is. Miles Davis once, Miles, as you remember Miles' film.
Yeah, of course.
He wasn't the most chatty kind of person. He wasn't exactly gregarious. And CB at 60 Minutes begged him, can we please interview you? We spend time with you. We want to do a profile. He said, no, don't. Finally, and they said, Harry Reasoner wants to do this. You know, we all love your work. So eventually Miles said, okay, but if I don't want to have to do anything. You can come and be around with a camera and maybe I'll talk. I'm not promising. But, yeah, okay. And then so Harry Reasoner shows up, and he said, so what are you doing? He said, I'm going to watch boxing. And so you can join me. So Harry Reasoner and Miles Davis are lying side by side in a big bed with a huge television set above them. And Miles and Harry are staring at the boxing match. And they're not saying anything because Miles wants to watch the boxing match. And that told us something about the importance of boxing. I notice if you want to see something wild, you can watch Snoop Doggy Dog, or is it Snoop Dogg?
Snoop Dogg.
That's, yeah, I think you can, that's the expurgated version. But anyhow, Snoop is already, you can watch him reacting to the fight. And make sure there are no kids around while you listen to him because he went off on this guy, McGregor. And we have to come back. McGregor played the card. McGregor, in front of audiences, said to Floyd Mayweather, dance for me, Floyd. Dance for me, boy, he used the word. Now, he's probably just selling tickets, but you could get killed doing that. And I wouldn't recommend it. But it was a study in, you know, the pathologies of our culture. And by the way, and also how corrupt people tap into unspoken prejudices and biases and whatnot. Do you know, Phil, I'm not going to name him, but a prominent labor leader here in Toronto said he would be backing McGregor because he's an Irishman. And you say, what kind of, and this man is I just said, a labor leader and a socialist. That's how far your commitments run? You don't know the history of racism in America, a lot of it involves the Irish and Black Americans. One of the greatest Irish revolutionary leaders in the early days of development of Sinn Féin and the struggle for independence came to New York and Philadelphia and Boston to raise money, and they were turning out by the thousands to see him. And this is while slavery still existed. And he said, the Irish of Ireland and the, our expats in America, we have to support the struggle against slavery, against it. We have to fight slavery. And after the meeting, they came to him, including the famous Darcy McGee, you know, hero who ended up in Ottawa.
Yeah.
They came to him and said, you have to stop saying that. They're leaving by droves. They support slavery. So don't talk about slavery. And he said, well, you got the wrong guy. I didn't come over here, you know, to sell out my point of view. And he understood this is a very serious problem. And Boston has some history. But, you know, for McGregor to do that, I don't know if somebody whispered in the ear, said, you know, it'll sell tickets, but you should not. Don't wave your, you know, fan the flames. Boxing matches have been known to start riots. After Jack Johnson defeated the White Hope in Nevada, there were 8 or 9 African Americans were lynched for celebrating because they went in the streets and said, hooray for Jack Johnson. And they were set upon by mobs. So this is our history. And I was not happy to watch that and hear that the guy was doing it. Because he did it with a kind of bravado. But this happens, by the way. Someone comes from another country. You can say, well, he doesn't understand. And so he just flashes odd attitudes and dips into the racial part. And I didn't like that at all. I mean, it became very important. There were 2 subjects that had to be defended, I thought. One was the race issue had to be clarified, and it was important that Mayfield win. And the second one is that boxing should prevail over the other guy. Because I don't mind giving them their territory if they want what they call it mixed martial arts. They can have it because I'm not interested in it. And I don't, that's their business. And so boxers should not claim that they're mixed martial arts. They're not. And mixed martial arts people shouldn't go claiming or thinking they can claim they're boxers, as we found out. On that point, Phil, you must have noticed that, in fact, you said McGregor was not a boxer, right?
That's right.
Yeah, he couldn't even throw a punch, actually. Yeah. He doesn't know how to throw a punch. That's a very curious thing about him, and that information was kept from us. He doesn't have knockout power. He came into the ring. They weighed in at the agreed maximum weight was 153 pounds. Floyd is actually a lightweight. He started – his first championship was 130 pounds. He's 5'8". So he's 5'8" and a natural about 135-pounder, and he's fighting a guy who's taller and heavier, who he made the weight at 153 on Friday night, but on Saturday night he weighed 170. So he thought, I'm going to use my bigness against this guy. But big isn't a punch.
He probably slowed himself down so badly.
did you watch any of it at all?
I didn't watch any of it.
Okay, well, for those who probably didn't, he used a slapping style. He would throw his hands, almost pawing, and some people said, oh, he landed a punch. Well, he did touch Floyd, but he didn't actually know how to throw. He doesn't have a hook. He doesn't have a right cross. He doesn't have a jab. And my impression was that Floyd did to him what he does to everyone, which is to just wait to see everything he's got. Like, okay, let's see. I've seen that. I've seen this other thing. And he puts a checkbox, you know. Okay, check, check. And then he did something he doesn't do, which is he goes forward because Floyd is a defensive fighter. But this was a man that he knew, even though the guy is 11 years younger and bigger, that he could actually walk right toward him without any fear because the guy didn't have a punch. That is all very, to me, that's interesting stuff. But I do recommend – Floyd has a father who is quite a colorful man. His name is Floyd Mayweather, Sr. And he was a welterweight champion and a good fighter. And he also, if you go to the gym, he will pull up his pant leg and show you the bullet hole where he got shot. Boy, it's an ugly wound, by the way, if I don't know if you've ever seen it. And Floyd's uncle, Roger, he's also a fighter. But when they were promoting the fight, I think the man is – Floyd Mayweather Sr. is for real. Floyd Mayweather Sr. went to the press conference of McGregor and stood in the back. And then when he'd heard enough, he started shouting. And he said, my son's going to kick your ass. That was what basically his theme. And then when McGregor answered, he said, and when he's done, I'm going to kick your ass. And I thought that was funny because he's 62 and he's in good shape. And I would say, McGregor, don't take a chance on that one.
Right, because he could lose that one.
I think the same thing would happen.
Yeah.
Because, again, you're not in your element. Floyd Sr. is in good shape. Uncle Roger is in good shape. And there's another uncle. He's a trainer. His name is Jeff. And they call him the Quiet Mayweather. I managed to find his comments. And Jeff Mayweather, he said, you know, this is embarrassing in a way. He said, I train these guys. He says, I know them. He gets money training mixed martial arts people. And he said, I got some pretty good ones, you know, contenders. But he says, once in a while, I do put them in with a boxer, and it always ends badly.
Well, is there a broader business purpose here? Is the mixed martial art crowd hoping that they're going to be get in as much of the big time as boxing's always been? Is that their dream, or is there a plan? Or
yes,
yeah.
The answer is yes,
yeah.
But you and I don't know.
Yeah.
These guys have a lot of money, and they are always looking to make it bigger if they can find a way. And so, so-called crossover stuff. Mm-hmm. In every culture, they talk about crossover. If we get over that other guy over near, you know, just down the road is almost like us. If we could find a way, then we get twice as much money. I don't know. I do know that the boxing promoters are very leery of them. One of the big promoters at the moment is De La Hoya himself, the former champion, who is quite a good fighter, who Floyd beat, by the way. Think about it. Floyd beat all these guys. He's got 55.
Right, nobody ever beat Floyd.
He's never been beaten.
Yeah.
Because he and Dad, Floyd Sr., with whom he doesn't always speak, sometimes they fight and the police come. It's a family full of, you know, they could make a good drama. And so now that I remember, Floyd Sr. was shot by his brother-in-law. So I can't imagine what that was about. But somehow I'm tying this in with De La Hoya. He also had fought De La Hoya. Oh, I was do go on, and if you're interested in it, take a good interest. Take the interest of listening to people know what they're talking about, such as Jeff and Roger and Floyd Sr. You can find them talking. Floyd is, by the way, unmarked, calm. He didn't break a sweat, as they say. And the best thing the fighter McGregor had to say about Floyd was, he said, well, he wasn't as fast as I thought. He wasn't as strong as I thought. But, boy, can he concentrate. Did he have composure? And that's true. The great fighters are completely composed. So whatever happens, and this is where you give them full credit, because – somebody's trying to stand in front of them, trying to hurt them, and they remain completely composed. And Floyd is a technician and a defensive fighter. By the way, the miracle for Floyd is he's made all his money being a fighter who's not exciting. He is not an exciting fighter because he doesn't get excited. He doesn't go for knockouts. He will take a guy 12 rounds and beat him in every round, but not risk losing by doing something, you know, foolish. The guy they call the crowd pleaser, his, as a fighter, his has a shorter lifespan because He wants everybody to go home saying, I saw a fight. Well, the problem is that one night he meets another guy who pleases them even more and takes him out. And it's very costly. But Floyd has done all this by just having a perfect record. He says, I will fight you and I will beat you. It won't be, you know, people at home won't even know what happened. They'll say, what happened? They say, Floyd beat him. And for people who study warfare and all that, they should study Floyd Mayweather because he calls himself Money, nice name, and he says, I came for the money. I'm not going to do anything stupid just to make you guys happy. And they estimate, have you heard the estimates? They estimate he made $100 million, $200 million, $300 million for giving a boxing lesson to a guy from out of town. You know, that's good money.
There's a lot of suckers.
You know, what we ought to start is a rumor that some movie star is actually a great fighter and wants to
Clooney. Challenge. Clooney's going to fight Mayweather.
Clooney will fight Mayweather. And then for the people who saw Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, they might wonder. And once this talk starts, the business guys start calling around and they say, what do you think? And they say, oh, yeah, we could, you know, okay. You got to fight. And then, you know, they arrange for somebody who knows something about boxing to tell the sucker or tell the patsy, okay, you got it, kid. We're going to teach you how to do this and you'll beat him.
So that's the Taylor Report's exclusive that Mayweather's going to come out of retirement and fight George Clooney.
Yeah, well, you made up the Clooney part. I mean, I will go with Mayweather. Now, this apropos, our excuse for doing all this is that we are fighting racism and for amateur athletics, which, by the way, boxing is. Cuba is great. Venezuela is great. There's a lot of good fighters in Belarus. There's a lot of places in the world where they really appreciate boxing. Mexico has many, many champions, many great fighters. And that other
– And don't forget the
that
Philippines.
Other thing is, you know, is not a – there is no amateur system. It is not part of Olympics and et cetera and all that. And so, you know, the people's sport is definitely boxing. And I want to say again, boxing – deserves all the credit for opening the doors to black fighters who were permitted then, enabled to make big money, serious money. And because the game is called winner takes top money. And it gave us Jack Johnson, and it gave us Joe Louis, and it gave us Muhammad Ali, and it gave us Sugar Ray Robinson. By the way, all those fighters I'm naming were while segregation existed and the other sports wouldn't allow them because those are corporate sports, see? The owner of the Washington football team, NFL, wouldn't allow a black player because it upset his sensibilities. The owner of, you know, all these, the Boston Red Sox, no, I won't have them. But you see, if a guy has his two fists and he says, I can beat anybody else with two fists my size, people say, okay, let's get it on. We don't need these the bankers and the NFL and all that stuff. Tell them to butt out. We'll just find out who can do this, you know. And so boxing is way ahead, way, way ahead. And I said the name Joe Louis, and we're talking last week about statues. He is from Alabama, I believe. And Alabama says, what are we going to do if we take – down the statue of Robert E. Lee. Well, put up a statue of Joe Louis. Then you have something to be proud of. He was the greatest thing you ever produced in sports. So put a statue up, a big one. Make it 40 feet high. I can, you know, money is no object. And so that would be the solution to that question. There's got to be a statue, a great one. And put it where you used to put Lee. You know, the guy who would have deprived him of the chance to show the world what true greatness is. You know, the South, slavery and the whole – I shouldn't say the South. The slavery, slave system and segregation was all designed to create mediocrity. Make it as mediocre as possible because if you allow everybody to compete, you're liable to find out who's the best. So they don't allow everybody to compete. And now, and before we go to break, I'll just remind you, Hank Williams Jr. wrote a song If the South would have won the war, we'd have had it made. And that he is now going to be singing Monday nights from NFL football. And Colin Kaepernick is not allowed to play. But Hank gets to sing because the owners like that song. If the South would have won the war, we'd have had it made. And the last line of the song is, we'd have been better off, too, he says. We'd have been better off. This is ugly stuff, America. You better ask yourselves, is this who you are? You're listening to the Taylor Report. We are sorry. It must be my fault. But weren't able yet to reach Harry Glasby. And I hope he's angry with me and will forgive me. But the title of his book is Class Privilege, How Law Shelters Shareholders and Coddles Capitalism. It's Between the Lines Press, and Harry Glasspeak is a professor emeritus and senior scholar at Osgoode Hall Law School, York University. And we have had him as a guest previous, and you want this book. We will talk maybe a little more about it in the second half. I'm sorry, but I confess, I got addicted to the Mayweather-McGregor issue, and I lost a lot of sleep finding out what everybody thought, and I decided to share it all with you poor devils. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back and talk to Robin Philpott.